God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So it's the start of a new year. And for many people, that means the start of a fresh round of New Year's resolutions. Turning over the calendar seems like a good point to just turn over a new leaf in life. Drop some habit that you don't want, or maybe take up some habit that you would like to incorporate in your life. So maybe it's to exercise more, spend more time with your family, eat better, whatever it might be. But it's often hard to keep those pledges, those New Year's resolutions. I did a little Googling about New Year's resolutions earlier this week, which always leads you to interesting places. And I learned that New Year's resolutions are not as unsuccessful as I thought they might be. I would have thought there's no chance people really keep their New Year's resolutions. And most people don't, but they are not as bad as I thought. I read one study that tracked people over 2 years to see how many people kept up their New Year's resolutions for a full 2 years. Now, the good news is that most people, I think it was 70% of people, could keep their New Year's resolutions for about 1 week after making them. But does anybody want to guess what percentage of people still were maintaining their New Year's resolutions 2 years later? What percent of people? I saw two over there, five. It's a little better than that. One, it's better than that. It's 19% is what they found. So about one out of every five people was successfully keeping up their New Year's resolution 2 years later. And of those people who actually managed to keep their resolution going, the overwhelming majority of them had some kind of period where they reported slipping up. They weren't keeping their resolution, they had to start over, for whatever reason. The average number of slip-ups that a person had who kept their resolution for 2 years was 14. So even these people who are able to carry out their resolution for 2 years, the average was 14 times that they fell off the wagon at some point. Now, change is hard, isn't it? It's a cliche that change is hard, but I think it's a cliche because it's true. It's very, very hard to change. You can probably look at that in your own life and see it. I look in my life and I see it. There are places where in my life I have really wanted to change and I have tried to change, but I just have not been as successful as I would like to be. There are other places in my life where I know that I should change. Things maybe aren't as good as they should be, but to be honest, I just don't have the desire. I'm a little apathetic about it. There are other places in my life where I really thought that I had changed, had taken some steps toward changing, and then something happened, period of stress or whatever it might be, and turns out I had not changed as much as I thought I had, or at least the change wasn't permanent. There are other places in my life where I want to change, I've taken some steps toward changing, and I can imagine how maybe one day I will be changed. And then there are a few places in my life where I think at least I've experienced some real, honest-to-goodness change, some genuine transformation. So change is complicated. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard and difficult to change? There are a number of reasons that change can be so complicated, one of which is that it's sort of wired into our biology, our psychology even, to resist change. We need some routines, we need some rhythms to help us make our way in the world. We kind of need some predictability. So once we've got our habits set, they really help us make sense out of life, and we tend to resist changing them. So it can be hard to change for that reason. It can also be hard to change because some changes are just too big to tackle on our own. Maybe you really do have a desire to change in some area of your life, but it's a situation that's so big, you're going to need some help. Maybe a doctor, maybe a counselor, maybe some friends to come alongside you. Some problems are just too big to tackle on your own, and on your own, you won't be able to succeed. So I want to be clear with you this morning that I don't think there is a one-size-fits-all answer for why change can be so hard. I'm not trying to sell you a simple three-step program that's going to fix every problem that you have. Everything you want to change. But I do believe that there is one step that you can take that is foundational for all the other changes that you might want to make in life. That step is really has to come before all the later changes. And that step is to turn your life over to God. The beginning of lasting life change comes from gaining a new relationship with God. Because in Christ, we learn to see the world through the eyes of God. Our scripture passage this morning begins by talking about sort of a change in perspective. Paul says, once we regarded things from a worldly point of view, a human perspective, we thought about Christ that way too, but we don't do that any longer. It's a change in perspective. He used to think about Christ in one way, but now he understands Christ in a different way. For Christmas, one of the gifts that I got my wife was a package from the Mysterious Package Company. And the idea behind this business is pretty much summed up in that name. They send you mysterious packages. So the idea is that you will get this package and it will be this immersive experience. It's usually some kind of game or puzzle. And you'll get sucked into the narrative and the story of it as you try to figure it out. Well, my wife comes home one day and finds this nondescript cardboard box sitting on the porch. She opens it up, and inside there's a crate, a big wooden crate that is nailed shut, like you will need a crowbar to open this crate. And then there's a letter on top that claims that it's from a law firm. The letter says, "Dear beneficiary, you know, the contents of this crate are entrusted to you from your long-lost relative. Contents are shrouded in mystery and secrecy. Up to you what you do with it." Now, if you got a package like that, what would you think? Now, her first thought was this might be a scam, right? Maybe I need to call the police. And that's not a bad thing at all to think. It's a pretty logical thing. Maybe you should think that. But I told her, actually, this is one of your Christmas presents. It's a game. It's all about solving what's inside. Now, in that moment, in one sense, nothing has changed, right? There's still this crate. You still need the crowbar. It's still filled with strange knickknacks and papers. There's still this letter from a lawyer. In one sense, nothing has changed. But in another sense, absolutely everything has changed because of that shift in perspective. Right? What was a scam that needs to be reported to the police is now a fun problem to be solved. A new way of looking at the situation puts everything in a different light. And that's what Paul says that faith does for us. The scripture talks about how God offers us this new chance to start fresh with Christ. At some point, each of us, we lose our way. We become separated from God. We wander away following our own path. We see the world through our eyes instead of through God's eyes. But through Christ, God offers us this path back home. When Christ died on the cross, he took all of our failures, all of our sins, all of our shortcomings. He took those into himself and defeated them, rendered them powerless. Those things don't have any claim on us now, so that we can be reconciled to God and we can be brought back to where we need to be. And being in Christ now gives us an entirely new way of living. Paul says that before faith, he looked at everything from this worldly point of view, this worldly perspective. He thought about everything the way that someone who is separated from God would think about things. But after being brought back to God, Paul understood everything differently. It wasn't that Jesus had changed, right? It's that Paul had changed. In one of Paul's earlier letters to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, he talks about the same thing. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, I think it's in verse 18, he talks about how the message of Christ seems like foolishness to the people who don't believe it. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. The message is the same. The message is no different for the two groups. But after coming to faith, the impact that message has on us is different. So Paul says that when we come to faith in Christ, that new relationship with God, it changes everything. In verse 17 of this chapter, he says, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come." The new is here. I used the word perspective a few times on the sermon notes sheet, I think. And we'll talk more about perspective in a few weeks in worship, how coming to Christ gives us a new perspective. But what I want to be really clear to you about is that coming to faith in Christ is not just about getting a new perspective. It's not all about mentally reframing things in a different way, seeing the world in a different light. There's this shift that happens in every aspect of our lives. In every part of our lives, old ways are supposed to stop, and new ways are supposed to start. I believe that everything in our lives is supposed to be changed in some way, but I'd like you to notice a few things that Paul specifically singles out here in this chapter as things that have changed in his life. First, he says that this new perspective that we get when we come to faith, it changes our motivations. It changes our motivations. He ends this passage by talking about why he does what he does. Paul talks about the motivations for his actions. And at the very end of this passage, Paul says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Paul here is saying that he is doing what he is doing on behalf of Christ. In his new way of living, he sees that Christ has done something for him that he could never do for himself. Somehow in Christ, all of his sin, his failure, his shortcoming has been taken away, and in its place he finds hope, righteousness, and holiness. And so Paul says that he is no longer motivated and driven by his own needs or his own desires. He's driven by Christ. He's motivated by Christ. He wants to live on behalf of Christ so that the Corinthians can experience some of what he has experienced. If I were going to put this passage in my own words, I would say it's like Paul has come to see the world through the eyes of God. The old thing that passed away was his human way of understanding the world, his human reasons for doing what he did. And the new that has come is this divine way of looking at the world, a new set of motivations. To be able to see things from God's perspective, it changes the why behind Paul's actions. To be able to see things through the eyes of God, I think should change our motivations too. Should change why we do what we do, even if on the surface level it may look the same. The why behind it can be different. To slip in, I guess, a personal testimony, I feel like I see this in my own life when I interact with people who I think maybe mistreat me some, or people who sure does seem like they're out to get me. Maybe they're not, but sometimes it feels that way. You ever have those people like that? Well, I think either way, if I were a Christian or not a Christian, I hope I would still be kind to those people. So on the surface level, the action is the same, but the why behind it is different. In Christ, I can see that those people are hurting, just like I am hurting. In Christ, I can see that those people need a fresh start. They need forgiveness and the power of God, just like I needed a fresh start, forgiveness, and the power of God. It changes the why behind our actions, changes our motivations. This new perspective that we get also changes our priorities, I think Paul's telling us. It changes our priorities. Each way of living in the world and seeing the world carries with it a set of priorities. If you really understand that the world is one way, if you really believe that the world is a certain way, then you're going to prioritize your life accordingly. Take sports as an example. If you really believe that sports are important, then you're going to spend your time watching some sports, learn about sports, pay attention to who's coming up in the league, maybe who's going to join your team. Imagine if somebody told you that they just love sports. NC State basketball is just their thing. They just bleed red. I guess everybody bleeds red, but they especially bleed red for NC State. And there's nothing more important to them than NC State basketball. And then imagine that this person tells you, "I actually didn't watch the NC State basketball game yesterday against Clemson because I just felt like watching some reruns of my favorite sitcom instead. So that's what I did." Now, what I'm going to think is, you must not really like sports in NC State like you say that you do. If you did, you wouldn't have watched old sitcom reruns. You would have watched the game. Right? Our priorities affect our actions. Our worldview determines our priorities, and it determines what we think is really important. And that's what Paul is speaking to here. Paul says he once understood Christ from a worldly way, but now the old is gone, the new is here. All that used to be important in a life apart from faith is gone. And with faith comes a new set of priorities. Right? It used to matter, maybe, if I got ahead in life. But now it doesn't matter so much. It used to matter that people liked me, people thought well of me. Now maybe that doesn't matter so much. Maybe it used to matter that I got what I wanted. But now maybe it doesn't. Maybe now what matters is what God wants, what Christ wants, what the Scripture has taught us, what the church has come to believe over 2,000 years is true. There's this new set of priorities in this new life. The third and the final thing that I think Paul's mentioning is that this new perspective, it changes our actions. Changes our actions. Paul talks about how God has entrusted him with this message of reconciliation. And as a result, Paul says he's become an ambassador for Christ. Paul says being an ambassador changes what he does. It means carrying a message to other people. Maybe sometimes the message is carried with words, and maybe sometimes it's carried by a lifestyle. But being an ambassador for Christ changes the way that Paul acts. Now, just this morning, I was reading a poem that was reflecting, it was a reflection on the impact of Christmas. And we just celebrated Christmas a week or two ago. And this poem was talking about the impact of Christmas as sort of being like holding a new baby, a little baby. If you're holding a baby, especially a very newborn young baby, you're generally not multitasking, right? You don't have the baby in one hand, flopping it around, and your phone in the other hand. You put both those hands on that baby, right? I hope you do, at least. Now, the poet says, that's sort of what Christmas is like. And it's almost the danger of Christmas. The poem says this. He says, be forewarned, my friends, for a night like this, Christmas night, he means, a night like this comes at a great cost to hold this baby, this Jesus whom we proclaim tonight. It means you are going to have to put some things down. When you hold this baby, nothing else matters. Everything else falls away. Faith in Christ and the newness of life that we experience in Christ means that our actions are going to have to change. We're going to have to put some things down. We're going to have to use those hands to take some other things up. Friends, the Scripture is teaching us that the beginning of lasting life change comes from gaining this new relationship with God. When we come to faith in Christ, we leave those old ways behind, and new ways begin to grow in us. And when we come back to God through Christ, our lives can be changed by that power of God. We learn to see as God sees. We learn to value what God values. We learn to feel maybe just a little bit of what God feels. And that has the power to transform our lives. Now, there may be someone here today who's never encountered Christ in the way that Paul's talking about. Maybe you've never met Christ in faith, and you'd like to do so. And I'd be happy to talk to you about that during our time of response. Christ defeated sin and evil to give you the chance to start fresh with God, to access the transforming power of God that really can, I believe, change your life. But it's likely that we have many people here who have been brought back to God through Christ. And I'd like to ask you, is there any place in your life where you're still holding on to the old ways? Is there some spot in your life where you are holding on to an old way of living, some old perspective, some old priority that should have passed away, when the new things came. The fresh start that we're talking about this morning, it won't come until we really see things from God's perspective, when we really live out of God's power. And if you want something to change in your life, it really has to start with that. And we try to title the sermons the same thing in both our contemporary service and our traditional service. We have people who are talking about the message in the same way, but we try to keep the titles the same. And so the title in both services today is "This Time to Begin Again." And it really raises the question, you know, when is the time to begin again? When can you start over? From reading this scripture that Paul left us, it does seem like the plain sense of it, on one level, is that the moment to begin again is that moment of conversion. When we come to faith in Christ, it almost sounds like a miraculous transformation, the way Paul writes about it. The old is gone, the new has come. But from reading other scriptures in the New Testament, and really just especially, to be honest, from 2,000 years of lived experience, the church has really come to believe that there are many, many opportunities to begin again. It is never, ever too late for a fresh start. So if you find yourself this morning still trying to live out of your own power, to live from your own perspective, start again today. Live out of Christ's power. See the world as Christ sees it. Only you know what that might be for you. Only you know where you might be trying to live out of that old perspective. But if you want a change in your life, that's where it has to start, in the power of God and His Christ. Would you pray with me, please? God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to start fresh, not on a New Year's resolution, but in a spiritual transformation that changes everything. Thank you for sending Christ in our world so that we can be reconciled to you. I pray that you would show us today if there are places where we are still trying to live in our old ways. Show us the promise of your new creation that you have promised to finish in us, as our hymn said. Make the old seem so hollow and empty in our eyes so that your newness might seem to be worth so much more and be so much more appealing than anything that we leave behind. Show us where we need to follow you into newness today. Amen. As we sing our final hymn, I would really challenge you to ask yourself that last question. Is there any place that I am trying to live out of old ways? Christ suffered and gave much so that you would find new life in him. Are you really living into that life like you should?